Hey guys, it's Grace. I'm here at the Witch's Table with Willissa, and today we are talking a little bit about planting seeds, different energies going on right now. We, as always, go over our tarot card of the month, and we are about to enter July, so we wanted to touch some on the next quarter for July, August, and September of 2023. But before we do that, we just wanted to recap that the card for June of this year was the Three of Swords. So the Three of Swords, we are feeling was some like really deep and heavy energy this month. And it kind of seemed to start coming to a head last month with the King of Pentacles, I believe, in reverse. Mm-hmm. I feel like that Ace or the Three of Swords is really following up on that energy.
It was interesting listening to the news about the repealing of affirmative action. And one woman that they were speaking to, she was a college student, African-American woman, and she was able to get into college through the use of the Affirmative Action Act and is now a practicing attorney. But she said that it felt like a gut punch to her. So I definitely feel that same energy in that card, the Three of Swords. Mm-hmm. It's just really, it's painful. It hurts my heart thinking about the ridiculous things that are happening right now. So I think that card, unfortunately, was very relevant to many activities that happened in June. You know, everything from Trump's ongoing trial to the repeal of that act, to the whole submarine debacle. Meanwhile, the submarine debacle was going on. A boat with close to 600 migrants in it capsized off the shores of Greece. Those migrants were on their way to Italy, and I think they've recovered like 80 bodies. So 500 people drowned, men, women, and children. And what do we talk about? Five people in this boat, you know. But all of that is just like a stab in the heart. So I think, unfortunately, June's energy has been really heavy and actually really painful. Like, I've found myself struggling to stay positive and to move forward in the things that I want to move forward in.
Yeah, I get that. I haven't necessarily had as much of that super heavy energy. I like to think that I'm good at pushing through and transmuting it as it comes my way, trying to find the opportunity rather than the setback. But I will say, I was coming across an article realizing that they're like actually putting a final decision to the whole canceling the some of the student debt and things like that, and it's just so such a divisive issue. I don't necessarily know that we'll get the resolution that we had hoped for. And it's truly disappointing, just because, like, when it came out, such a big part of the campaign speech and a big reason why a lot of us were pushing for this specific candidate or this specific promise, and then to have it, like, yeah, we got it. Like, I remember the day they announced that. I was up here working, actually, and we were all, like, crying in the foyer. Because we thought, oh my God, for once in my life, like, something goes right, you know, in that realm when it comes to
to
finances and stuff. And then, you know, shortly afterwards, to just kind of have that ripped away from you and then berated for ever thinking it would happen in the first place was, mm-hmm. was really painful. Mm-hmm. And so that was another thing that's like come up again this month in June. And it's been rough. Also, we just kind of got past that 1 year anniversary of them repealing the Roe versus Wade. And that was really painful to come back around to. Actually, when that happened last year, I did. I was like fully silent and withdrawn for like a whole month because I didn't know what to say without either bursting into tears or going into an angry outrage.
Exactly. I felt exactly the same. Just like a yo-yo back and forth from, you know, I'm going to take up arms and storm the Supreme Court too. I'm just going to crawl in a hole and cry and it's all over with, you know, back and forth. So yeah, it was a miserable year.
And it's kind of, I just you know, you get over it and, you know, you're making progress towards things, but then to just kind of be re-exposed to all of it again, has been different. I'm glad that I'm in a space where it didn't necessarily throw me off too much, but it definitely still hurts to think about.
What's interesting to me is, we did some magic earlier in the year around the eclipses, and I felt like that magic was very potent, and very powerful, and for me it was very much moving forward, helped me to move forward with some things and to be able to hold on to some positivity. And it's interesting that all of those astrological forces are at play and still at play, while the universal, the governmental forces, the political forces, both here in the United States and in the world, seem to be almost immune to those effects, or those effects seem to be affecting them differently because of the actions. It's almost like a roll-up of karma, that their ability to take advantage of these energies has been thwarted because it's wrapped up in deception and the need for power.
Mm-hmm.
And so it manifests completely different for them.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
And so then as far as the next quarter for July, for the U.S. at least, we pulled the Page of Swords upright. So we were talking a little bit about that one. This card is almost confusing at first glance because the guy who's got the sword up about to attack, he's facing a different way than his sword is, and there's a cloud right behind his head. So it almost is like he's not maybe fully paying attention. He also doesn't have like both feet like firmly down on the ground, like how you would want to stand if you're actually going to be in defensive mode or offensive mode. Either way, he's not taking like a power stance necessarily. Mm-hmm. So we were kind of speculating on what that could mean.
Yeah, the card itself has multiple meanings and multiple interpretations. What you just described is really obvious and definitely comes to my mind. It's like, okay, something is wanting to happen, but we're not quite prepared for it. At the same time, when I asked this card for additional information about what it's about, I got a firm idea in my mind of the prosecution attorney regarding the Trump trial. Because really the future of our country does depend on what happens with Trump. And I think that card is the attorney. Is it Jack?
Jack Smith, it's right? Smith. Yeah, something it's something so Smith. Simple yeah, that Jack you Smith. Forget.
I think it's the Jack Smith guy. And he is contemplative, decisive in his action. So I feel like that card bodes well for us. I think someone is paying attention to the details. Someone is looking in front, looking behind, getting ready to take that next step, whatever that is. So I feel good about that card.
So you're seeing it as, we're not looking at him faltering in the card necessarily. Mm-hmm. We're seeing him right before he takes the power stance.
Mm-hmm.
He's like checking his P's and Q's before he goes into like, okay, I'm ready now.
That's what I
think.
That
makes sense.
Yeah.
That actually makes a lot more sense than...
That's what I think with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to talk about the Chariot reversed. Hold on to your knickers.
Yeah, so we got the Chariot in reverse for August, and as soon as it pops up, we're like, yeah, I don't like that. Typically the Chariot is your godsend, your saving grace, but then to have it in reverse, it's really all about, I believe it said, something that you...
It's thwarted intention.
Yeah, something failure. You're just about to have it in your grasp and then it's taken away.
Right, yeah, something that you should have been able to get a hold of, something you should have been able to accomplish, but no. So I think that has to do with the Trump trial.
Yep.
Maybe that's wishful thinking on my part, but I feel strongly that this has to do with the Trump trial.
I do too.
I think they're gonna get him. I think he's gonna not be able to walk away from this.
Kind of have him boxed on all sides.
Yeah.
It's I mean, if it's not this thing, it's that thing. You know, he can't dodge everything.
Right.
There's not enough money in the world to dodge it all.
Well, I should have declassified those documents before I showed them to you, but here they are. Oh my God.
Like, excuse me.
Right?
Like, you're such a high profile public figure. Did you not think it was going to be?
He doesn't think.
I guess that's,
but that's really
a silly question.
But the other thing that concerns me with the chariot in reverse like that is, if indeed they actually prosecute him and find him guilty and actually give him a sentence, I know these things take longer, so if he's prosecuted and found guilty here, he's not actually going to be sentenced for another few months or maybe even longer. But I wonder if this chariot card also has to do with the upheaval that may happen between the two sides of the fence, the Trump supporters and the non-Trump supporters. I wonder if that card also points to some kind of upheaval with that. So I'm a little bit concerned about that.
I can definitely see that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then for September, we pulled the Four of Wands.
Yay!
Which looks a lot more optimistic compared
so
to the
pretty.
Last.
It's like a bridal bower, and there's a castle in the background, and there's two people, and they're holding flowery wreaths, and they're all happy, and there's a big bountiful wreath that's tied across the Four of Wands up over the top, like an archway. I like it.
Yeah.
It's happy.
It looks a lot more peaceful and tranquil than a chariot in reverse.
Yeah. It has to do with resolution, and it has to do with focusing on life. You know, I mean, there's two people here that are in union, obviously, and there's a house, castle in the background. And they're in the center of these four staves, so they're really being focused on, like, this is the thing that we need to now pay attention to.
Right.
So I feel like there may be a backing away of the strife that has been going on in this first part of the year.
Mm-hmm.
In September, we may get a reprieve from that.
Yeah.
I would very much like that to be true.
I was telling Melissa, when you look at these three cards as a whole, I can actually see two different interpretations of this as a reading, and the first one is a favorable reading for those who have been doing the work and fostering community and planting good seeds in life, and then there's a directly opposite reading for those who have not done the same thing, and it's glaringly obvious to kind of realize, like, if you did the work, you're ready. And this is more so for your opposition than it is for you.
Uh-huh.
And then when we have Four of Wands, it's like, okay, I can take a break, recover before I go to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
However, I feel like that first one where he's faltering,
yeah,
could be said like there's not enough organization going on with the Page of Swords, possibly.
Yeah.
And the opposite meaning.
Which causes that.
Which causes the Chariot in reverse.
Uh-huh.
And this Four of Wands could be interpreted as a delusional,
yeah,
end game.
Yeah, because if that secondary interpretation is accurate and there is a failure here, this is not possible.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, the people on the other side of the fence can have a lot of this energy where it's very delusional,
yeah,
and thinking everything's,
yeah,
all great,
it's
and
all
it's really not.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot to think about with those cards. And, you know, when we meet next time, we'll go back to the Page of Swords and analyze that a little bit further as it becomes more relevant within the month of July.
Yeah. And then we did pull a couple clarifying cards. We usually don't go into world events here, but we were just curious to see. And they somewhat seemed to align, actually.
Yeah, they did, actually.
So our world events card for July is, what is that, the Eight of Swords?
Yeah,
it's the Eight of Swords. I can't read Roman numerals upside down.
Eight of Swords, upside down. So the Eight of Swords is the card where there's a woman standing there. She's bound up, but she's not bound particularly tightly. And she has a blindfold on as well. and there are 8 swords stabbed in the ground around her, and she's trying to make a pathway through. And the reverse meaning of this card has to do with treachery, and it's a karmic card. It's a reckoning of past events. Can also represent a fatality or a death. So that's happening in July, and this is a worldview. And I asked if this had to do with the United States, and it does not. I think this has to do with Russia, some kind of treachery going on there, either by Putin, surprise, surprise, or by somebody else that, you know, comes out against him.
Definitely.
Maybe that first guy doing that gave somebody else an idea. Yeah, maybe I can do this. Maybe I can pull this off.
Definitely.
Some treachery there.
For August, we have the King of Cups upright, which seems like maybe a more emotional nature that's leading to that Chariot card that we have on the other side. Emotions running high. And I know King is usually associated with royalty. Maybe in some readings it's a beneficial card. I'm not necessarily getting that here.
Yeah.
Not necessarily getting that. It seems like this here in specific is like overabundance. His little faux fur throw.
Yeah.
And his crown and all of this overindulgence is not actually what we need to be focusing on.
Yeah, I think so too. And an emotional focus rather than a intellectual focus on what in the heck is actually going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And with the leadership. So yeah. Whichever country this has to do with, or maybe this represents multiple countries. And then we have the Sun card.
For September.
Right. Which is usually a happy, happy, joy, joy card. And I like it because it's also right up against that Four of Wands, which is also another happy card. So it feels to me like some kind of shift is going to happen in September.
I think maybe even specific to the Sun, some sort of illumination, something coming to light.
Yeah, something coming to light.
Maybe something with the Trump situation is actually deeper than we know about at this point in time.
That's always possible with him. I think the damage done is yet to be known. Yeah. And won't be for a few years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But that's the world outlook.
Yay!
Right. Moving right along.
So touching back on how we have with these cards, we have two different meanings dependent on the type of seeds you've been planting. And we wanted to talk a little bit more about that concept of planting seeds. I know we've talked about it before, but it is very good, I guess, metaphor for what we're doing.
Yeah, well, the planting of seeds is another metaphor for life cycles. And we are in the season where the seeds should already have been planted. We should be looking at things growing out of the ground. We should be looking at food starting to develop on the vegetables and on the fruit trees. However, at least here in Colorado, many gardeners and some of the major farmers in the area have actually reported that they're having to replant their seeds because it was so wet. Unseasonably wet. I mean, I've never in the 30 years I've lived here experienced a spring into the middle of summer as wet as this.
Yep.
And I know a few of my gardening friends were all like, why haven't my seeds come up? It's been 20 days. And I said, because they're rotted and you need to plant again.
Yep.
You know, so I think there's going to be some planting again, but then we have to hope for a very long summer. We've got to hope the sun lasts through November, because a lot of these crops take 90 days to mature. So it's very interesting, the whole concept of planting seeds. What seeds did you already plant? And how are they doing? And I think you can use the weather and the disruption, the obstacle that the weather created, as a way to give yourself permission to replant. If necessary. You know, if you're looking at your plans and your goals and it's just not happening, fine. Replant.
Replant.
Yeah.
It's never too late to pivot.
Right. Yeah.
You don't necessarily need perfection to take action on something or to follow through on an idea you've had. Mm-hmm. This is the prime time to get the ball rolling in some way, shape, or form mm-hmm. on the intentions that we have been working on since October.
Yes.
There's got to be a plan. There has to be an action.
Right.
And sometimes it is that little room for imperfections that mm-hmm. actually creates the magic for things to take place.
And you remember we talked a little bit, I don't know, a couple of podcasts ago about the concept of adaptability.
Yeah.
You know, we're living in a time of great change. And that's being mirrored in what's happening in the environment. But if you look at the astrological influences right now, we still have a heavy influence of Uranus. And he's all about, like, just zap them with lightning and shake stuff up. Sudden change. Which can be sudden really good change or sudden really bad change.
Yep.
But even sometimes when it's a really good change, the suddenness of it is discombobulating.
Yeah.
You know, it's ungrounding. So we've got Uranus up there with his lightning bolts doing his thing. And then we've got Pluto in retrograde for a long time. I forget whether it's 5 years or like 10 years, but it's a long time. And he's all about internal transformation mm-hmm. when it's retrograde like that.
Yeah.
So here we are trying to move forward with our projects and our mundane lives. And Pluto was like, can I rip open the closet door and show you the stuff in that box again?
Yeah.
So we're really struggling with our own deep personal issues that we need to be resolving in this lifetime. In the face of trying to plant our seeds and get things happening.
Right.
Yeah. It's a challenging time.
It's challenging. I do feel like maybe you could kill two birds with one stone, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And while you're going through this transformation, make that a part of your intentions. I wish to transform in this way. I invite and embrace the opportunity for this transformation and see it as an opportunity more so than anything of like, mm-hmm. instead of being, oh my God.
Yeah.
Life is being ripped away from me as I know it. Like,
yeah.
Redirect, refocus.
Yes.
See where you can go from here. It's like, we talk a lot about being present and things like that, but there's another aspect to that too, because we can't just always be present here and now.
Right.
Like, you do have to have some kind of forethought about where it is you're going with your direction, so.
Well, yeah, because if your seed's rotted, what you're present to is, oh my God, my seed's rotted.
Right.
And that's
then what?
Right?
So, that's only going to last so long.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, acceptance of what is true. That just happened. But you, like Grace was saying, you still have to have that foresight. Okay, what are my next steps?
It's time to rip it up and
right.
start over.
Exactly. How can I think positively about this? How can I move this into something that's going to benefit me? And I think mm-hmm. if you can look at what is the personal trials that you're dealing with? What are the things that Pluto is poking at you about?
And you'll know, too, because it feels
oh, yeah.
urgent.
Yeah.
It's like it
yeah.
won't leave you alone. It
yeah.
keeps resurfacing.
It'll
That's
be in
exactly
your dreams.
What we're talking about here.
You'll see other people doing that thing. You'll be like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like when I do that thing. Oh.
Shh.
Yeah.
I feel attacked.
Right. And so, but you want to use that personal transformation and then flip it outside and go, okay, so if I deal with this issue within myself, how is that going to now magnify outwards into my projects and my goals and the things I'm trying to create out in my life? How is that going to move me forward? How does that map on top of that?
Definitely.
You know, so do that personal work, but look at how it advances you in the rest of your mundane activities.
Yeah, exactly. And for people like us, nothing is ever truly mundane.
Right.
Came
exactly.
up with a friend the other day. Does everything mean something? I'm like,
yes.
Well, it depends who you ask. But if you ask me, I say, yes, everything does mean something. If you,
yeah,
if, you
if
you stop long
ranch.
Enough to... Exactly.
Right.
Don't ask a witch that question.
Then we talk about the blue heron that flew in front of my path, like 10 feet in front of my car while I was driving 95 down C-470. Yes, that means something. You know, it means slow.
I was going to say, does that mean slow down or go faster because he's trying to show off?
No.
You need to prove yourself now.
The heron doesn't show off. The heron is always about patience.
So slow down.
Patience. Oh, yeah. And you know, she appears to me whenever I'm pushing too much. If I'm pushing too much.
Yeah, so there was a message for you.
Oh,
there.
Yeah, definitely. I saw always. Her. I was like, okay, all right, sorry. Let me get the control of myself. Yeah, everything means everything. What a silly question.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I think my final answer to the question is yes, but sometimes we don't always have time to go into that awareness.
Right.
To really sit there and dive into the meanings of everything we come across because we are so fast paced.
Well, and that
awareness, I just don't have time for that.
That those moments of awareness is the universe trying to talk to us, our guides, our spirit guides, our deity, all of those are trying to talk to us. And it's in those moments of clarity and in those moments of where we're slowing ourselves down, when we're doing ritual, when we're doing our meditation, when we're just sitting and looking at nature for a few minutes before you have to get up and do the next thing. It's in those moments that we want to listen for those voices. We want to listen for that insight.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I was putting my stuff away today, getting ready to go home, I was playing with my rocks and my crystals, and they were like, no, we don't want to be packed up yet. And I was like, I just want to pack you up so I can be ready to go. And we're like, no. So I said, okay, fine. So I'm going to ask which one of you wants to play and which one of you wants to give us some information on what we need to help us and support us in the next month. And the one that called to me was the black obsidian. And that immediately made sense.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense when we look at the Page of Swords card.
Even the Chariot in reverse.
Oh, totally. So the black obsidian is about grounding. And it absorbs negativity. So I think the message here is very simple. You want to focus on your grounding in the midst of your projects, in the midst of whatever obstacles may occur for you. Go back to the very simple things.
Yeah.
You know, sit, meditate, drink your cup of tea, ground. Go back to those foundational things.
I'm getting definitely on the foundational things. I'm getting a message from Obsidian here. It's very much a physical stone too. It's a reminder, like when we're talking about the color black, that's associated with the root chakra. And so a good way to maybe do some work in that realm is to, like, for me, it's always dance. But if it's like exercise or whatever it is for you, like, whatever gets your heart rate going and gets you sweating is actually moving through energetic blockages and different, maybe for some people it's psychic attacks, maybe for some people it's self-limiting beliefs. I think obsidian carries that energy of like, we're actually pushing through. To me, black obsidian is the most valuable protection stone that I use in my own toolkit.
It's my favorite one.
Because it is so aggressive. It is so much cutting through that illusion where...
you feel it as soon as you pick it up.
As soon as you pick it up.
You don't have to sit there and check in with it. It's like, boom.
It's boom. Yep. Yeah. So I was happy that one came out because it's like, all right, we're done playing. Like, playtime's over. Yeah. It's time to get serious.
Right.
And that's the energy of black obsidian.
Yeah, and you need to engage in your grounding practices.
Yeah.
So that you can, you know, have a clear head and so that your body can be strengthened.
Yeah.
To go through these next few months. Okay, where are we?
Then the other one we have is lapidolite. You pulled a lapidolite stone.
Yeah. We were going to do a little bit of work with Ganesha here in removing some obstacles, because we planted our seeds and then we had this obstacle called, at least in Colorado, called 6 weeks of almost nonstop rain.
Yep.
You know, seeds rotting, my tomatoes, oh my God. It was like the most pathetic thing I ever saw. They're like a foot tall and they're all yellow and wilted and they have these little baby tomatoes. Like, they tried so hard to do something, but there was so much rain.
I couldn't do it.
No, I've got to rip them out and start over. You know, so there's obstacles that are taking place in your life So you want to think about, okay, what were the obstacles that got thrown at you? And don't even go to that place about, well, I should have, could have. Forget that. Just deal with, okay, this thing happened and that derailed me.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then you want to look at, okay, what's my next step? And you want to go to the grounding, go to the black obsidian, get yourself grounded, sort your thoughts, and get ready to move forward. Maybe that means taking a physical action. Maybe that means making a phone call. Maybe that means making an apology. Maybe that means doing ritual.
I got less so on the apology than more so for setting a boundary.
Uh-huh. Definitely. Definitely. I like that too. So take a look at what it was that got in your way and think about, is there a lesson there? And what do you need to do to move forward? And so we were thinking we'd bring in Ganesha and do a little chanting with him. And when I asked what stone Ganesha wanted to play with, he wanted to play with lepidolite, which I thought that was really funny because it's very, very different from black obsidian.
I actually love that combination, though.
Yeah, because, well, it's almost like an opposite.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like you have both things.
Yeah.
You know, both sides of the spectrum that you can work with.
I feel like the black obsidian clears your slate, so the lepidolite actually has an effect.
Right, because the lepidolite is all about reducing stress and anxiety. And it actually connects with your vagus nerve, creating a calming effect. It can relieve physical symptoms as well as emotional symptoms. And so when we're talking about obstacles, lepidolite is a really good stone to work with, especially.
I want to geek out for just a second on the lepidolite. This is one of my favorite stones of all time, especially in raw form.
Mm-hmm.
The little specks in it that sparkle is actually natural lithium, which is prescribed as an antidepressant and mood stabilizer.
Can I snort it?
This one's polished, so you can't snort it.
Oh.
But if you hold raw lepidolite while you meditate, slowly over time, that lithium will slowly absorb into the skin and actually does have a mood stabilizing effect.
Wow.
When we go to the hot springs and stuff,
mm-hmm.
that's usually what's in the mineral, like part of the, it's usually composes the most of the minerals that's in the hot spring water, at least here in Colorado, because it's very prevalent in the soil.
Wonderful.
When we talk about mica, that stuff that makes it sparkly, that's lithium.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just had to nerd out. Just in case y'all
definitely,
didn't know.
Definitely contribute that. Because really, we do need that mood uplifting right now. And if Ganesha is going to do a little dance for us to help us remove those obstacles so that we can get to that place of upliftment.
I like
upliftment.
His style.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because Ganesha, like most of the Hindu deity, are displayed in different ways, And one of the forms that Ganesha takes is called the Dancing Ganesha, and it's actually his Ganapati form. So as Ganapati, he's the leader of the army, and he dances in front of the army. And so you see this, it's almost fanciful, and you'll see a lot of modern art making him look really like he's doing a belly dance or something, but he's not. What he's doing is he's stepping very carefully, and his feet go high and his knees project outwards, and he's doing this heavy stomp out in front of his army that are going to now clear and get rid of all of these obstacles. And
that's why obsidian came through.
Yeah. It's how
now it makes sense. I didn't even know this story.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he's doing the universal dance. He's bringing in the cosmic influences. It's like a churning up of the energies as he moves forward in that dance.
So he's working with some earth and cosmic frequencies and really bridging that through that practice.
Yes.
That makes so much sense.
Exactly. And when you look at different depictions of Ganesha, he might have different things in his hands. But in the form that we want to use now is the Lord of Success. And he has an elfin head. We all know that. That's always the same. The head represents the Atman, which is the soul, which is the ultimate supreme reality of human existence. His body represents the Maya, or the earthly existence. So like we were just talking, when he dances, he's mixing the cosmic with the earthly energies. The trunk represents the sound of Om, which is another symbol of the cosmic reality. And the sound Om connects us between our physicality and our astral place, our cosmic place, okay? In his left hand, he has a noose. And it's not like a noose that we think about a noose. This noose is for capturing the difficulties, for capturing the obstacles. So if you think of somebody who's throwing a lasso,
like a cowboy lasso. Got it.
So he throws the noose out and captures the difficulties. And then when the noose is released, the difficulties fall before him and he treads them down into the earth. In his other hand, he has a goad. This picture we're looking at shows both the goad and the noose in the same hand. The goad can look like various things, but it's basically a stick or a club with a pointed end on it, or a tool on the end of the stick. And that literally is for goading you down the road. Pushing your butt on down the road. It's like, look,
you're going to succeed whether you like it or not.
Right. I'm moving all this stuff out of the way. I'm turning up the cosmic forces for you. You're still standing there? Really? Poke with my goat.
I love that.
You know, and then sometimes he's also seen with a lotus in his hand. The lotus always represents wisdom, connection to the divine. Sometimes he's seen with the other half of his tusk. You know, Ganesha has a tusk that was broken off in a battle. And the tusk represents the sacrifices that are made. And that you have to hold on to the energy of those losses. Hold on to the energy of what was sacrificed in order to fully appreciate what is now coming. So he keeps that with him. He didn't discard that as an emblem of his pain or his upset. He keeps that to remind him that this was sacrificed in order that these other things may be.
Wow.
Yeah. And then you'll also see him with a bowl of goodies, little round balls. These are called laddu, and you can get them at certain Indian restaurants around town. And they're just little sweet balls. And Ganesha loves little sweet balls.
I love little sweet balls.
Yeah. he likes sweets. But also the thing about the sweets is you have to be careful not to dive into the temptation of the sweet things in life. Yes, I have these sweet things here. I can look at them. I can admire them. I'm going to have one or two of them, but not to devour them all, not to just be focused in that sweetness, because there's no forward motion there. There's no grounding. There's no effort.
The vibe I get whenever I see the plateful is like, okay, there's a couple for me here, but like the value is in actually sharing it and passing on this sweetness to others to enjoy.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. And then his vehicle, all Hindu deity have a vehicle. It's generally an animal of some sort that they ride upon, in air quotes. His vehicle is the mouse. Certainly this elephant is not riding on that mouse. But the mouse represents humility. So here he is. He's the Ganapati of the divine army. He's got all of these tools. He's fierce, you know. His vehicle is the mouse. So he literally has to use his cosmic balance to hover with the mouse, because he can't actually ride the mouse without trampling it.
Right.
So it reminds him to be humble in his greatness. So that's a little bit about Ganesha. And we're looking at this really pretty picture. I'm sorry that this is all verbal, so you can't see this, but you
can. It will be on the episode cover. Okay, is the photo that we're using today.
Awesome. Yeah, and you can Google Ganesha and see all of the different varieties, the different ways that he is portrayed. He's always either beautiful or powerful in the way he's portrayed. So I have a mantra for Ganesha. And this mantra is very simple. It just means, please remove these obstacles. It's really what it means, remove these obstacles. And it's Om Vigna Nashanaya. Vigna Nashanaya. Vigna Nashanaya. Om Vigna Nashanaya Namaha. Om Vigna Nashanaya Namaha. And so I have a little audio of it, which we can play in the background if you want. You want?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Let's do it.
Where is it? Where is it? Oh, did I blow it away? That will make me upset. This should be it. Oh, yes, this is it. We were just looking at it. Okay. Do I have it set? Yes, I do. Offering incense. And we have a candle going. And we ask Ganesha to help move us through the obstacles of this coming quarter. We ask Ganesha to dance his cosmic dance, help us to merge and blend the earthly energies with the cosmic spiritual energies. We ask Ganesha to remove the obstacles from our path, so that we may seek healing, so that we may move forward with the things we desire. We ask Ganesha to help us to see those hidden secrets within ourselves that Pluto is asking us to address. Remove the fear, remove the unknowingness, the concern that we might have. Allow that information to come out, that we may dance it in a cosmic dance of understanding, reconciliation and healing. Ganesha, we honor you with our actions. We honor you with our thoughts and ritual. Ganesha, we see your dance, and we will dance. Deep energies like the black obsidian. We will free our hearts and mind, bringing joy and lightness like the lepidolite. Ganesha, we honor you this day, and we give gratitude in advance for your blessings already on their way, knowing that obstacles will move from our path. from your cosmic dance and our action. Ganesha, thank you for being with us.
Yeah, that was pretty potent. I, like, my whole body heated up, like, so quick into that chant. You did a really good job, like, giving, like, the backstory on Ganesha and bringing these energies in to really exemplify why we're using him in this ritual today. He was very, very present during that meditation. Yeah.
That's what I love about Ganesha. He's one of the most accessible deities in any pantheon. He wants to be of service. He enjoys his cosmic dance. So, yeah, you call him, he's there. You don't even have to be a devotee. You don't necessarily have to know much about it. The more you know, he's appreciated. Offerings to Ganesha, always appreciated. Things that are rich. Incense. Candles, perfumes, food, your favorite food. You know, maybe you don't have access to laddu. Fine, give him your favorite food. That's a tremendous offering. But yeah, he's always ready to participate, and he's kind. He has this deep, loving energy to him.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I definitely sense that.
Mm-hmm. That's why he picked Lepidolite.
Right? You know?
That's the one he wanted. Thank you, Lord Ganesha. Jai.
Thank you. So I think that's about all we have for today. Going forward, use this chant and these themes.
Are we going to do a card to pull?
Oh, yeah.
Obstacles?
Yeah, we'll do that.
Do you want to?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. Sorry.
Just kidding. We're not done yet.
Just kidding. We have more. And there's more.
We're going to pull a card to help us remove obstacles and to also provide support towards achieving our goals as we move through this sun season, through this big old wheel of life.
And
we get
card is it just flew out of my hand.
It is the same colors.
The Ascension. So we're using the Shamanic Healing deck.
First impression, Ascension, like when the seed has germinated and it starts sprouting out of the ground. That is a form of ascension. It's pushing up through the dirt to the sun. Nothing's stopping it now, right?
And when you do your personal work with Mr. Pluto, and you dig into that box in the back of your closet, and you start dealing with those deep shadow issues, the result of that is ascension. So let's see what it says here. Some of those following a spiritual path have ascension as the ultimate goal. However, ascension, portrayed in art and literature as a great leap into the nirvana, is actually a giant work of, well, art and fiction. Rather, ascension is the process of conscious living. We are all spiritual beings. We are all souls in a human body living life on earth in order to learn and grow. That is being spiritual. Whether you are conscious or not, you are walking towards ascension. Each experience, relationship, obstacle, joy, or creation will bring you one step closer on the ladder to where we all end, with a greater awareness of ourselves than we started with. The situation at its best is a rung on the ladder of your soul's path towards ascension. Work at a bigger picture and know that you are bigger than the issue before you and ascend.
That's very Ganesha, like, yeah. Vibes.
It totally is. I like it. Ganesha likes it too. Yeah.
So, I mean, and that's really what we're talking about on so many levels today. So that was not surprising. I love this deck. It's the Shamanic Healing Oracle. Michelle Matuzas, I believe is how you say it, is the author.
Yes.
Not only did she make this deck, she also created the art by hand for it, and it's very unique in design, I think. It's one of my longest standing decks. It's always just been a go-to, like, never, you never get something that you don't need from this deck.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I really love it. So, Ascension. Now I think we're done.
Yes. Thank you all for joining. Take some of the things we talked about today, put them to work in your own life. Do this chant maybe a little bit longer and sit with Ganesha and ask him to remove those obstacles from your path so your seeds can start to grow. And going forward, as we're moving through this season, we're getting closer to harvest, but we're not there yet. So there's still work to be done. There's still tending to be done.
It's summertime.
Pluto is really, you know,
push time.
Pushing for this work to happen.
Do it now.
So do it now. Don't get hit in the head by the 2x4.
Right.
If it's too late.
If you fail, do it again.
Just do it again. I mean, you're on nobody's time but your own, really. And that's the key here.
Exactly.
Doesn't have to look like anybody else's path. But the key is to actually be doing some sort of work on a personal level. That's how we all can collectively transmute and bring to the surface that which needs to be brought to the surface. So,
right. And Ganesha is clearing the path for you.
Mm-hmm. And he's prodding you. Yeah, I don't want to get trampled by him.
There is that. Okay, everyone. Thank you for spending time with us.
Thank you. Our contact info is in the episode description. And as always, thank you guys. Bye.